We are talking about spiritual warfare, but I want to show you spiritual warfare in a way that maybe you don't look at it. And I would like to give you a secret weapon to use in spiritual warfare. Now, it's not secret weapon because nobody wants you to have it. It's a secret weapon because you don't know it exists. Okay? So, when we talk about spiritual warfare, the first thing I want you to understand, spiritual warfare, we start to get this vision of angels with their swords drawn and they're fighting and blood's going everywhere and it's kind of a battle scene. It's gory and ugly and it's very, very serious, right? That's not spiritual warfare per se. It can be, but most spiritual warfare never goes to that level, all right? Spiritual warfare, I will give you an example. She's probably not going to like it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I went into spiritual warfare for Jessica this week. Huh? I'm going to put all her business on the street. I don't care. So what happened is Jessica is enjoying a new life. Right? She lived a life that didn't have too much God in it, and now she's surrounded by people talking about God all the time. They don't never shut up. They're always talking about God. It's a different lifestyle than what I think she's been accustomed to. Am I fair in saying that? Okay, so now when you start to look at this God thing and you start to get involved with godly people and you start to do godly things, all of a sudden things that seemed right to you before don't seem right to you anymore, right? I'm not just talking about things she did or didn't do. God's working on her on all that stuff. That's true enough. But in this case, it was her job. Mm-hmm. You see, her job makes it difficult for her to be involved in everything she now wants to be involved in because she works crazy hours at a prison. And it takes her, she has to leave work an hour and a half early to get to work, and to come back is another hour plus. So not only does she work the 8 hours, but she loses another 3 hours almost in travel time, and you could see that kind of disrupts your day, right? And I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think there's times she just kind of stays over there and works another day. Is that right? I did catch that, right? Because it's not worth the travel time coming back. She's got to turn around and be right back at a crazy hour, so sometimes it's not worth the trip, right? And so she began to pray, and God began to speak to her about the possibility of another job, one that would not be so disruptive, one that would put her on the level of most others working a normal shift and being with her family and all that kind of stuff. Now, that's spiritual warfare, okay? Because she called me to pray for her. And so I went into spiritual warfare. That's the fight. You see, I know Satan does not want her to have that job. It's good for her family. Satan don't want anything that's good for your family. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's how you can know. If it's good for your family, he don't want it. Right? He would do anything to pull her out of here, not push her into the seats more often. To keep her away from godly people. And so I went into spiritual warfare. And when I went into spiritual warfare, I used the secret weapon. Oh, y'all don't know what it is, do you? You know what it is. I just told you a few minutes ago. The secret weapon is found in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. There's a widow lady, and her husband has died and she's in trouble. Okay, they're coming and they're going to take her children from her to pay off the debts she owed. There's no chapter 7, 11, or 13. Y'all hear me? They took your kids. You can't pay us what you owe us. We'll take your kids. They'll work for us. They'll work it off. You don't have your kids no more. That's the way it was in those days. See, if we'd go back to that, y'all would stop that foolish spending. I'm just saying. Woo! All right, Jessica is now inducted into the Not Right Club. Okay. I agree with her. I know her kids.
Oh, you need to quit.
Now I'm in the club with her. I've been in the club a long time, Jessica.
Founder, CEO.
So this lady has to go into spiritual warfare, mm-hmm. or she's going to lose her kids. And so she uses the secret weapon. Now she goes to the prophet Elisha. But you have to understand, at that time in history, you couldn't go to God. There was no Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't come yet, and you didn't have private conversations with God. The priest went into the Holy of Holies, did his thing, brought your request in. Sometimes you ain't got time for all that. Right? For us right now, sometimes it's Jesus. That's all we got time for. Well, this lady didn't have time, so she goes to the prophet. Why? The prophets were considered the ones that had a direct line to God. They heard from God and told you what God said. So she had a direct line to the prophet. So she goes to the prophet. And she uses the secret weapon. Are you ready for the secret weapon? Reason is your secret weapon. Mm-hmm. Reason. Okay? She goes to the prophet and she says, listen, my husband's dead. He was in the school of prophets. He was one of you guys. He went to your school. She gave him reason for God to help her. Mm-hmm. Does this make sense to you? Do you give God, look at Hezekiah. Hezekiah, God told Hezekiah, he said, listen, you're going to die. You're done. Mm-hmm. Get your stuff in order. Go tell your family, go write out your will, go divide up your stuff, go do whatever you got to do, but you're going to die. You will not recover. So God said, you're going to die, and there's nothing you can do about it. And we say God don't change his mind. Whoever says that's ridiculous, by the way. God doesn't change his character, but he certainly will change his mind. If you don't think God changes his mind, there's no reason for you to pray to start with. God will change his mind. Prayers are to get God to react to you. What do you think you're praying for? You want God's reaction. And more times than not, we want him to change what is already done. Right? Tracy finds that funny. I don't know why. Is that what we want? So, God changes his mind on Hezekiah and gives him 15 more years. What did Hezekiah do? Spiritual warfare, used his secret weapon, reason. Hezekiah goes to the wall, puts his head on the wall and says, God, you know me. Mm-hmm. See, I'll do that to God. I go to God and I say, hey, you know me. You know how busy I am. I ain't got time for this illness. I'm preaching your word. I'm fixing your church. I did that to God when I had a house in Pembroke Pines that I needed to rent. And I went to God and I said, God, I'm too busy to be renting this house. I ain't got time for this. You know what I'm doing. You see me, God. I'm at church. I'm praying. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I need you to take care of this because I'm giving you reason. That week, God sends me three renters. Three. I had to choose between the three. All ready to write me a check. But you need to understand something. You need to listen to the next thing that I'm about to tell you. I didn't advertise it and I didn't tell nobody. There were no signs. Three people, three families. And the guy that I ended up renting it to stayed there for 5 years or more. I gave God reason to help me. In spiritual warfare, sometimes you want to give God reason. And for those that don't have any reason to give God, start getting some reasons. Could you just imagine God sitting up there saying, why? Why? You haven't prayed to me in 12 and a half years. Why? Why am I going to do this thing that you're asking for now? I haven't seen you. You haven't been in my house. You haven't supported my kingdom. You haven't helped a brother or sister. Why? Why am I going to do this for you? I use reason to protect my finances. That's spiritual warfare. If you don't think the devourer is out there to consume what you have, you haven't read the Bible. Mm-hmm. God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Malachi 3:10, I believe. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now, if God has to rebuke something, you best believe it's coming at you. There's a devourer trying to get your finances. Do you have reason in your spiritual warfare? God, I can't help anybody if I ain't got no money. Now, if you don't help anybody anyway, don't go with that reason. No. Just to stay quiet. Just. But you give God reason in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Listen, went to spiritual warfare with God, and I said, God, Jessica needs a normal life so she can be more involved in the kingdom of God. That's what I said. Simple. I didn't spend 8 hours praying. I just gave God, took out my secret weapon of reason, and I gave God the reason that she needs a new job. I don't think it's been a week. Has it been a week? When'd you call me? Tuesday? Week ago Tuesday? Been 1 week. How many calls? Three job offers? Five job offers? Huh? Is somebody listening? How many people go get five jobs in 1 week? Five in 1 week. One application. And she goes on an interview, and they hire her, but they don't want to pay her what she's used to making. So she just told them how much they were going to have to pay her. But you got to understand, God softens the heart of the king. I don't care who the king is. Mm-hmm. It could be the king over your employment. It could be the king over your how much they pay you. It can be whatever. God said, the king of the hand, the heart of the king is in my hand. And now not only does she have a job where she doesn't have to travel 3 hours a day, but she only travels 1 hour a day back and forth, a half hour. Is that about right? That's savings in gas. Yes. Savings in time. Do you know when you're tired, you do stupid things with your money? Does anybody know that? Huh? Now you can't sell out your own family nugget. Did they? You know, nuggets 10 for a dollar. Not only that, but they're paying her more money now. They automatically upped their offer so she would take the job. Spiritual warfare. She knew she was going into battle. She might not understand all the spiritual warfare yet. I don't know what she understand or don't. But she called me, and I understand. And I went into warfare. And I said, God, because she needs a normal life to do what you're calling her to do. Because this ain't good for her family. And it's not good for us, God. That's all I had to say. And the hand of God is upon her. You go into spiritual warfare each and every day about something. Yes, little things. They're not the big warfare that there's going to be 20 casualties. They're little things. The little things. And God said, I know the number of hairs on your head. He's concerned about the little things. Mm-hmm. I've numbered the hairs on your head. Don't worry, I'm not going to say nothing about Rob right now. Or Ron.
You better be careful. You know what happened to
the
other
person. No, I said I'm not going to. My wife said I can't do that no more. Hey, I'm listening. That warfare is getting to me. Listen, your secret weapon is reason. I've never seen anybody in the Bible use it and not get what they want. I'm not sure I've ever used it and not got what I want. I give God reason for him to react. When Connie gets ready to go on this mission trip, you got to give God reason to send you. You want God to send you, you give him the reason. Right? All right, I'm ready to start. All that was for free.
Okay. Well, actually, I
did I just preach after your sermon?
No, I show that picture. This is warfare. Do you see the hands there? This is spiritual warfare. This picture right here, if you can see. This is Debbie LeBlanc's thumb. This is Bishop's hand, and this is her thumb. They have their hands like this, okay? She was extremely restless. He had enough God in him to notice that she was going through something. And he got up, and he moved his chair next to the bed, and he reached over, and he grabbed her hand. She took her thumb and she went down the side of his hand like this, acknowledging that he was there. It wasn't Debbie LeBlanc that acknowledged him. It was the spirit inside her that acknowledged him. He then took his hands. This is his hand here, and this is his hand here. This is her hand in the center of his hands. He commenced warfare for her. Within seconds, I saw a restless woman cease and be calm. Do you understand that? That's spiritual warfare. we're missing it. We're trying to battle flesh against flesh, person against person. We're missing what God is laying out in front of us. Does that make sense to you? Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong about what happened?
No, spiritual warfare isn't so much that you're fighting, it's you're invoking God to fight for you.
Yeah.
That's spiritual warfare. You're not doing the actual fighting. You're invoking God to do the fighting for you. It's very important to understand because we think we have to be in spiritual warfare. No, we don't have to be in spiritual warfare. We can invoke God to do it for us. So I told God if he could calm the seas, if he could calm the wind, he could calm Debbie LeBlanc. That's what I told him. And she was calmed instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the seas were, just like the wind were. I invoked him to do the spiritual warfare. He's better at it than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the problem is? Is that God doesn't need your help.
Right.
You see, we go to God, or sometimes we don't go to God and we just start to battle ourselves. And God's just standing over there looking like, check it out. He's got this.
Yeah.
I'll go on to something else. He's got that.
And then they complain.
He's got nothing.
Yep.
Without God, you got nothing. Or you go to God and you say, God, I want you to battle for me. But then you don't get out of the way.
Right.
And God's like trying to get around you. He's trying to push you out of the way, but you won't get out of the way. And he can't get to the battle for you because you're blocking him. Or you can be real smart about it. Give God reason. And then step out of the way. Go ahead, God, you got that.
Mm-hmm.
When you step out of the way is when God does his best work.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the glory for the victory. Please understand, I get no glory for the victory. God gets the glory for Jessica's victory. He's the one who did the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get glory for Debbie LeBlanc's brain surgery being called off 1 hour before surgery. God gets the glory. He's the one who did it.
Mm-hmm.
I just evoked it.
Mm-hmm.
I brought it out. God, this is what we need.
I wish you could have been in that room.
I didn't even know you were taking pictures.
No, nobody did. I wish you could have been in the room. There was five of us, including her. And her cousin was fighting with her because she's trying to rip the tube out. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching her and she's trying to rip the tube out. And she's telling her no and she's trying to convince her to just be still. Then she starts worrying about us eating, yes?
She was trying to buy me dinner.
She's calling the nurse to come back in, and we're all trying to get her calm. Now, this whole thing is a whole array.
She's screaming
of,
for the nurse.
Yeah. His name was Nick. Nick!
She was Nick! Sending him to Subway to get me dinner.
Yes, she was. But
I can't make this stuff up.
No, but in all seriousness, if you could have, I did not, I missed it. I'm gonna stand in front of you and be honest. I missed it. You know why? Because I'm too educated. My thought was on medical. His thought was on spiritual. I'm trying to decide what I can do to get her to calm down through a medical standpoint. He's fighting spiritual warfare. We miss it. But God puts people in your life to be able to see that. And as soon as he pulled his chair over next to the bed, I sat there and I watched and I went, oh my gosh, forgive me. And when he reached out to take her hand, I took my camera and I began to snap pictures, one right after another, because I wasn't going to miss it again. That's the way God does you. he closes you in his hand when you're in that battle. If she would have jerked her hand, she would still be restless. But she instantly calmed down. We all too often start jerking around, acting a fool, think that tears are powerful. We're going to cry in front of God. You know, sometimes if we'd just be quiet long enough to listen, we'd find out what direction he wants us to go in. Then we wouldn't be fighting battles alone, yes? A lack of watchfulness is destruction to our souls. We are commissioned to be on guard at all times. 1 Corinthians.
Listen, stay alert, stand tall in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. Let love prevail in your life, words, and action. Mm-hmm. I love this verse. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, if you'll read that chapter, it's only about 7-8 verses. And there's so many good things in those 7-8 verses. But you see that God told this lady through the prophet to go get some jars. Mm-hmm. And if logic would have taken over, because she knew she was going to be putting the oil she had in these jars. Now, she doesn't have enough oil to cover the bottom of one jar. And the prophet says, go get some jars so we can fill these jars up with that oil. And right away, you're thinking, huh? No, you don't understand me, prophet. I got these drops of oil. That's what I got. I just got a little bit of oil. And the prophet said, go get some jars. You got to go borrow them. Go borrow them. And don't bring back just a few. What's he saying to her? He's saying, listen, stay alert. Stand tall in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Let love prevail in your life, words, and actions. Go get some faith. Mm-hmm. And she goes out and she collects these jars, and she's got all these jars. She's got all kinds of jars. Got a lot of jars, right? Logically, she got nothing. Mindset, she got nothing. Mm-hmm. And then she began to fill the jars with her oil. Mm-hmm. First one got full, second one got full, third one got full, fourth one got full. Do you know when the oil ended? When she had filled all of her jars. Mm. See, if she would have went and got 10 more jars, they would have been filled too. If she would have got 10 less jars, once those were full, the oil would have stopped. God's making a clear declaration is, where your faith is at is where I'm able to work. I can't work past your faith. I can't work past what you believe. If you want to start putting your logic into it, you want to start putting what you understand about. Listen, you've been taught the laws of gravity, the laws of nature. They don't exist. They're here. I don't mean they don't exist, but I mean our God bends the laws of nature. Mm-hmm. I'm a living example of God bending the laws of nature. I bled out. Jessica will tell you I'm not supposed to be alive. Wouldn't you say that? If I bled out, how can I still be alive? You have the knowledge. You went to school. Huh? I'm not supposed to be alive. Why do you think I work so hard for God? My life is His anyway. I shouldn't see today. But God bent the laws of nature for me. Mm-hmm. and he'll do the same thing for you if you have enough jars. But if you only got a couple of jars, you're going to get a couple drops of oil. But if you got a lot of jars, you got a lot of faith, you have to deprogram your mind to leaning onto your own understanding. Doesn't God say, lean not unto your own understanding? Why? Because your understanding limits you. Your understanding stops you from the miracle happening. It's not about what you understand. It's about how many jars you have. Mm-hmm. Stand tall in the faith. If you don't have the faith, then very little is probably going to happen for you. Mm-hmm. There's glimpses, and then there's the way of life. Sometimes God will show you a glimpse of what can happen. But it's supposed to be a way of life. I like that scripture.
Here's a shocker for you. Satan is not our biggest problem. We face three enemies every day, and in some cases the three are interwoven so tightly it's difficult to tell them apart.
Linda, Donna, that's two of mine right there. Oh, that's not on your notes? I'm sorry.
Chris is the third one. Okay.
Linda, Donna, and Marjorie. That's
there you go.
That my three?
It takes all three of us to keep you straight.
I know.
That's right. Okay. The three are the world, our flesh, and the devil. However, our primary problem is not Satan. We are our biggest issue. Ephesians 2.
You remember Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it.
He's over there crying because right? He didn't have anything to do with it.
Devil didn't make him do it. He did it himself. Hey, if you're a born-again Christian, if you've been covered by the blood of Jesus, devil can't make you do a darn thing. Did you hear me? You don't belong to him anymore. He has no ownership in you. He has no legal access. As for you, don't you remember how you used to just exist? Corpses, dead in life, buried by transgressions. Wandering the course of this perverse world, you were the offspring of the prince of the power of air. Oh, how he owned you. Talking about the devil. Just as he still controls those living in disobedience. And I'm not talking about the outsiders alone. We were all guilty of falling headlong for the pervasive passions of the world. We all have had our fill of indulging the flesh and mind, obeying impulses to follow perverse thoughts motivated by dark powers. I see this in life all the time. I had a week here some time ago, and four men gave up their addiction to pornography in 1 week. Now, what caused that to happen? They were no longer motivated by perverse thoughts given to them by dark powers. And they set themselves free because the devil don't own them anymore. As a result, our natural inclinations led us to be children of wrath, just like the rest of humankind. We still think, some of us, that Jesus and there's no wrath. Right? But that's not right. Jesus doesn't punish you for your sins, but they have their own consequences, which is wrath. Okay? Right? You can commit murder and accept Jesus as your Savior, but you're still going to prison if you get caught. Where are we at? I'm not going there. I got to stop.
For our biggest enemy. Okay.
I'm sitting back down.
Okay. We need to understand that even in spiritual warfare, when it feels like we're on the battlefield alone, that God reigns over our enemy. There's now and will always be strife between humans and the serpent because God put the conflict there. So if God put conflict between us and Satan in Genesis, what makes you think you're not going to get attacked today? And that's in Genesis 3:15.
And I will put enmity, open hostility, for those who didn't know what enmity is, between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall fatally bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling you, you are involved in spiritual warfare. Expect it. It's coming, but you can overcome it.
That's true. I was smiling because what I was reading here says, the strife between man and Satan led Jesus to the cross, where his death would break the back of the demonic realm and strip them of their powers. Colossians 2:15.
When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil operating against us. Do you see me anoint the baby today?
Mm-hmm.
What was I doing? Making an open declaration to both the demonic realm and the supernatural holy realm that the powers that are for this child are greater than the powers that are against her.
Yes.
That's what that's all about. Anytime I anoint you, I'm making a declaration into the heavens that the powers that are for you are stronger than the ones that are against you, because you got both powers that you're dealing with in your life. You got those that are against you and you got those that are for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I left off, so I'm starting over. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil operating against us, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. The cross is symbolic of the victory. The first item purchased for this church is this cross. Before you see anything here, including the building, before the building, before the carpet, before the chairs, before anything, was this cross. This symbolizes the victory.
Mm-hmm.
What Jesus did on the cross ensures our victory. I don't walk around thinking I could win. I walk around knowing I could win.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to remember that my fight is not in the natural realm, but it's in the supernatural realm. You win very little in the natural realm. In fact, they say in a natural fight, there are no winners.
Correct.
Even the world will tell you that. Mm-hmm. But in the supernatural ring, they're winners. We're about done.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? Prayer warriors, come up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we're not done. Somebody tell my wife I'm not long-winded. Thank you. Thank you. I got one backup. That was it.
Huh?
No, that's not good enough. I'm going to go in the spiritual realm and fight this. I know what to do and get my secret weapon. Somebody say, I love the rabbit trails.
I love rabbit trails.
There you go. See, you got any more questions? If you want to understand spiritual warfare, don't think that it's just going to come by osmosis. You gotta come up and talk to God about it. You gotta tell him, I want to understand spiritual warfare. I want to discern when I should be fighting in the supernatural realm. I want to understand when I need to defend myself in the supernatural realm. I want to understand when it's time for me to pick the fight in the supernatural realm. I win a lot more than I lose because I'm usually the one picking the fight. Hello. I'm not waiting on Satan. I'll go get him. I cause trouble that I have no business causing. Don't matter to me who it is. You see, it's not going to affect me all that much whether Jessica still works at the prison or if she works at the other place. Didn't have to be my fight. But I like messing with the devil, to be honest with you. I don't want to hear Billy Graham said, when I get to heaven, I want to hear, good and well done, thy faithful servant. That's not what I want to hear. I want to hear, you messed with the devil every chance you got. That's what I want to hear. I want acknowledgement for messing with the devil. That's what I want. High five. You messed with the devil. Because that's what this walk is for. I mess with the devil for people that don't always know that they're supposed to be messing with the devil. I take on all the fights. If you want to know more about spiritual warfare, come up and ask God tonight. If you need prayer for anything else, come up and talk to God tonight with one of these prayer warriors. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the lessons, God, and we thank you for the mighty ability to fight in the supernatural realm, God, to be victorious, God, by clinging to the cross and remembering everything Jesus did for us, God, and remembering the authority that you gave us, and remembering our reason, God, our secret weapon, the reason that we have.